Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Over the past several years, many thousands of kids have started hunting, fishing, and loving the outdoors because of DSC. A great many poachers have been put out of business, and our elected officials know that we as outdoorsmen and women mean business. Come be a part of something important. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome to the camp house here at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. I'm so glad that you enjoy spending time with us here. Thank you very, very much. Why don't you grab a cup of coffee and settle into that chair over there? We saved it just for you. And let's enjoy a little time in God's great outdoors. The front porch of the camp house is brought to you by a great product from my friends at Purina called Calming Care. Calming Care very gently over time settles the overbarker, the overjumper, and I want to save you $5 on your first order of Calming Care. Just come see me at bbkoradio.com, and we'll make it easy for you. Got a great show lined up for you today. Hank Cherry is going to join us. Hank won the Bassmasters Classic last weekend on historic Lake Guntersville, Alabama. It was a special classic, the 50th anniversary. Hank took a fall on the deck on day one, hyperextended his elbow a little bit, had some swelling and a lot of pain, but held on to win it wire to wire. He's going to join us in just a little while. Also, up in New York, Cuba, New York, Scott Jordan teaches science there. He also teaches about the great outdoors, hunting, fishing, the shooting sports. And you are not going to believe what he's got going on at his high school. It's over the top. And it has earned him Educator of the Year from the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation. And Blake Cockrell up in Lubbock, Texas, the dry and dusty Texas panhandle. He likes to bass fish. And he has pulled two behemoths from the West Texas dust within just a few days of each other. We're going to talk to him about that as well, right here on Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Hey, I want to welcome a brand new crowd to the camp house this week, you folks in and around Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're tickled to have you. Jeremy, thank you for the invite to join your great radio station there in Tulsa and share time with your audience each week. Thank you. You know, one of the finest dog trainers in the world and one of our BBKO radio pro staffers, Ronnie Smith and Susanna Love, they're right up the road just north of Tulsa there. The big news in the bass fishing world this week, Hank Cherry wins the Bassmaster Classic. Hank was a rookie back in 2013, and he dang near won the Classic that year. He did win Rookie of the Year and finished third in the 2013 Bassmaster Classic. With this win last Sunday on Guntersville, Hank passed the $1 million mark in career earnings. He led it wire to wire and finished up with a total of 65 pounds, 5 ounces. This was his fifth Bassmaster Classic. Hank took home a $300,000 first place check. Man, he had a huge first day. 29 pounds, 3 ounces. Anchored by a 7-2. 16-10 on the second day. 19-8 on day 3, the final day of competition, and that was enough to do it. Interesting note, when Hank won the Classic last weekend, fishing a Berkley Powerbait Max Scent Chunk, Berkley became the all-time winningest brand in Bassmaster Classic history with 16 wins, including 5 since the year 2000. As part of the Bassmaster Classic every year, the high schoolers and college kids have their championship. Matthew Vandegrift and Asa Robertson relied on tactics that worked for them back home in Middle Tennessee to win the Bassmaster High School Classic. They did that on Lay Lake a week ago today. Robertson and Vandegrift represent Warren County High School, Tennessee. And it was Jacksonville State University's Zach Gossett and Lucas Smith that led the team to victory at the Bassmaster College Series event on Lay Lake. Congratulations, guys. Nate Olson, he hunts deer around Orfordville, Wisconsin. Once hunting season is over, he's out looking for sheds with his buddy, Mike Hackett. These guys are eating up with it. Can't get enough of it. I understand the feeling, fellas. Nate and Mike were out shed hunting the other day, And the trophy buck that they found may be the new Wisconsin state record whitetail. Nate says, I've shed hunted a lot. I've hunted a lot. I have many, many miles on my boots looking for sheds. And to come across this, well, it's a diamond in the rough. The state record in Wisconsin for the biggest white-tailed deer ever found or killed is 253 inches. He'll know in a couple of weeks if that record now belongs to him. That record is 47 years old. This deer and all 23 of its points was tangled up with another buck. They died during a disagreement. After Nate made the discovery, he called the Department of Natural Resources right away. Nate's buddy Mike had actually been tracking this same buck for the past 3 years, had him on his trail camera a number of times. To break the state record, the buck needs to be officially measured by the Wisconsin Buck and Bear Club or Boone and Crockett Club. Those measurements will be completed at the Deer and Turkey Expo in Wisconsin, first weekend in April. Portiflora is America's number one canine probiotic, has been for a number of years now. So if you have a dog with chronic GI upset, or if you have a working dog that handles a lot of stress and activity, you ought to keep Portiflora handy. Order it from Chewy.com.
This is Jimmy Houston, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Safari, defined as an expedition to observe or hunt animals in their natural habitat. That's a pretty good overview of what we do at DSC. Safari allows us all to enjoy waterfowl on a nearby lake, elephant and African bush, and each other along the way. As we go, we recognize the need to conserve that natural habitat and those native animals both near and far. Based in Dallas, Texas, the DSC has chapters organizing across America, and the impact of our work reaches around the globe. It may be desert water guzzlers in West Texas that enable the survival of our native sheep, support of a helicopter in Africa that day after day tracks down and puts away poachers, a youngster enjoying the rifle range for the first time, or maybe it's a solid and immovable stance before politicians that would take your shooting and hunting rights away from you. If these things are important to you, please join us. Become a DSC member at biggame.org.
On April 3rd and 4th, some of the world's finest knife makers from the Knife Makers Guild and American Bladesmith Society will be at Stockyard Station in the Fort Worth Stockyards to display all custom and handmade knives, fixed blade and folding knives, hand-forged Damascus knives, and much more. If you collect knives or if your knife is an important tool to you, this ICCE show is a must. Beautiful engraving and scrimshod knives by world-class artists. But it's 2 days only, April 3rd and 4th in the Stampede Room. Stockyard Station, Fort Worth. There's a Marksman Firearms store near you with locations in Mansfield, Killeen, Wichita Falls, and Granbury. And at all Marksman Firearms stores, we're ready for spring. Whether it's a new semi-auto, pump, or over and under that fits your needs for spring turkeys and sporting clays, we've got you covered at Marksman. Shotgun loads for the range and big 3.5-inch turkey loads, too. Make your mark this spring at Marksman Firearms. Learn more about us at MarksmanFirearms.com.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
This is Woody, Woody's Fairly Reliable Guide Service, up on Rainy Lake, Minnesota. I've been taking families, friends, and corporate groups fishing for more than 40 years. Crappie, smallmouth, walleye, and monster pike await you right outside your lodge door. Not only can I show you a wonderful time on Rainy Lake, I can sell you your very own island, as I'm a realtor too. So we can do it all up here and take a two-nation vacation with Woody. Over 90% of our customers make it back to dock safely. We hope you're one of them. Woody at RainyLake.com. See you here.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Dropped off in a remote wilderness where the bears outnumber people 10 to 1, and the mosquitoes have been known to carry off full-grown moose. Lucky, join us in camp and tell us about it at Big Billy Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
We attend the most critical conservation meetings, no matter where on earth they might be. Sometimes that's Switzerland, sometimes Africa, and sometimes the kitchen table with the future outdoorsman or woman. DSC, grassroots conservation, at work, home, and abroad. BigGame.org.
Glad you're in the camp house with us today at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Thanks. Hope you'll be a regular visitor. By the way, the Dallas Safari Club is having a regional banquet tonight. First ever banquet for the DSC Georgia chapter. It's going to be at the Governor's Gun Club in Kennesaw. Starts at 6 o'clock tonight. Great auctions, great fun. The Georgia chapter of the DSC tonight. Well, hey, let's jump on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line now and go to Northfield, Minnesota, where my friend and BBKO radio pro staffer Tom Dockin is standing by. Tom, one of our incredible dog trainers. Tom, here in Texas, you know, the turkeys are gobbling a little bit. The spawn is starting up. Flowers are popping everywhere. Spring is springing before our very eyes. I'm sure that's a little different from what's happening there in your land, Minnesota.
Well, it is. You know, our snow is just starting to go. We've got some open ground showing up. So up where we're at here, in, you know, Minnesota and the Dakotas, you know, that's a positive. So we can kind of tell that, you know, maybe winter is going to not be around for too long. So that's a good sign for us.
That's good. And if it's springtime that's rolling around, it's got to be shed hunting time. The World Championship's coming up again. Can you believe how this sport has grown in a relatively short period of time?
Well, it really has. I mean, it's taken off. You know, the whole sport of using dogs to hunt for sheds. I know the North American Shed Hunting Dog Association started their trial series about 10 plus years ago, and the number of participants has just exploded. And you know, it's one of those things. You know, you get to certain parts of the country, and you know, your bird seasons are over with. And, you know, what are you going to do with your dog? I mean, they're kind of chomping at the bit to do something. And, you know, shed hunting is a really nice way to be able to get out during those times when, you know, nothing else is going on bird-wise. Get your dog out. Teach him how to find sheds and go out and have some fun with him. Get some good exercise.
Yeah, and that's one of the coolest things about it. You can actually, without taking any bird hunt ability out of your dog, your upland dog, your retriever, you can take them to hunt sheds and enjoy them in that arena without changing anything that they're already doing, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, one thing that I always answer when I'm doing a shed hunting seminar is, you know, people are concerned, well, my dog, if I'm going to now go out and bird hunt, are they going to be looking for shed antlers? And that really is a question I try to get out of the way right away. That shed hunting and having your dog find antlers will never compete with bird hunting in your dog's mind. So it is not going to be a problem. You know, as a matter of fact, if I'm out shed hunting in some of our areas and I start kicking up some pheasants, my dog goes, you know, he says, well, we're done shed hunting for the day. I'm going to go and chase pheasants. So that's just a concern that you don't have to worry about. And, you know, I tell people it's relatively easy because if you have a dog that knows how to upland hunt, basically all you're doing is upland hunting for antlers. And just to break it down even more, I tell people, You know, if you had your dog go out and try to find some dummies in your backyard that you hid, do you think you could do that? Most people go, well, yeah. And then I just say, well, just start treating your antler like it would be your training dummy. And if you have a dog that has some good retrieve desire, you know, they want to play that game as well.
You have come up with some products, designed some products over the past few years that kind of help in that transition and in that making that antler more attractive or easier for a dog to understand and pick up and bring back. What are those?
Well, you know, a couple of things that we use, and, you know, being that we've been training for years, you go, what are the aids that are going to help this process go a little bit faster? You know, most people don't realize when a dog is shed hunting, two things. They're going to use their eyes, obviously, like we would, but then they'll use their nose as well. And what are they actually smelling? They're not really smelling the whole antler. They're smelling the part where it falls off the deer's head. In a lot of cases, the fresher it is, there's going to be like a little waxy ring on that base. It's going to probably have some hair on it. It might have a little blood. So that target area there is where the majority of the smell comes from. And we developed a scent that actually mimics that smell. So early on, what we do is we really coat an antler with that scent to really get that dog, you know, kind of a position where they're going to use that nose to really recognize that smell in a greater extent. And then gradually, as time goes on, we'll just put less and less scent on an antler to get it so those dogs, you know, really have to concentrate on that little bit of smell that they're going to have. But the neat part is that these dogs are going to cover at least 10 times the ground that we do when we're out shed hunting. So the value of having that dog out there is really, to be honest, tenfold versus trying to do it on your own.
Yeah, you could end up like the guy in Wisconsin that may have found, he wasn't using a dog, he was just out shed hunting on his own, but may have found the new state record whitetail over there while out looking for sheds this spring. So you never know. Tom, folks can learn more online, plus you're going to be a big part, I'm sure, of the national championship that's being run at your place, Shed Hunting Championship, coming up.
Right. They can, if they wanted to check out that a little more or get involved with shed hunting with their dogs and maybe get your dog out and run some shed trials, they can go to, the website is sheddogtrainer.com, and that'll put you to the website that tells you all about the events, what products are there to help you train your dog, and just get you started. And I think, you know, most people, once they get started with it, they go, hey, this is something I've been missing out with my dog for a long time. So I think a lot of people would enjoy that, you know, that extra activity that they can do with their dog.
Hey, thanks, Tom. That's Tom Dockin from his Oak Ridge Kennels in Northfield, Minnesota. Shed hunting, it opens up a whole new game for you and your hunting partner. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Calming Care. It is a product from the trusted name Purina that very gently and over time calms the overactive dog. I want you to try it. People are getting amazing results, and I want you to try it with your overactive dog. Come see me at bbkoradio.com and learn how you can get $5 off your first order of Calming Care. Hey, you know, springtime is a great time to teach the kids how to fish. It's pretty cheap and simple and easy to get into. Let's go catch a mess of crappie. Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall joins me now. Wally, if someone's going to the store today, they don't fish, but they want to get started, what do they put in their arsenal? What do they buy today that can put them on the water this evening?
Well, I'll tell you, in my arsenal, Billy, I've got one rod in the springtime. Well, maybe two if I want a little further reach. I've got a 9-foot Wally Marshall Signature Series rod, and I've got a 10-foot Wally Marshall Signature Series rod, and I'm using this rod in my hand, vertical jigging up in the brush. Get you some Crappie Thunders by Strike King, get you some Jokers, get you some Lead Heads, some 8-pound test line, maybe some 10-pound test line of Mr. Crappie, you know, and just vertical jig around visual structure back in the coves. Especially if you're a new angler and you don't know where to go or what to do, believe me, I've walked in on many a lake in the state of Texas, not even owning a boat, and catch limits of crappie. Taking that 10-foot rod or that 9-foot rod, putting it back in that cattails and catching those crappie in 2 foot of water. If you don't mind a little bit of cold water on your legs, you don't need any waders, but I'd get a pair.
you might want to make that investment and get a pair. So it can be done. It can be done from the bank. You won your very first ever crappie tournament from the bank.
I didn't even own a boat, but I had a pair of waders on, and on Cedar Creek Reservoir, fishing in cattails in April, won the first crappie tournament that was ever held in the state of Texas.
There you go.
Hey, everybody, it's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
Right now is the time to put a solid game plan together for this fall and winter. Dillon hunting blinds keep you warm, dry, and quiet, resulting in more time spent in the field. If you're comfortable, you fidget and move less. Dillon hunting blinds are a completely assembled one-piece unit with insulated foam walls. A marine decking fiberglass floor means no rot, ever. Framed glass windows that flip up and in with friction hinges. And drip rails on each window. Need vertical windows for bow hunting? We've got you covered there, too. The classic 4x6 features two fiberglass gun rests and a 4-foot shelf and a super quiet locking aluminum RV-type door. The Dillon name is legendary because of tough, long-lasting construction, competitive pricing, one-piece construction, and all-day comfort. At Dillon, we're ready for fall. Are you? Visit us online at Dillon, M-A-N-U-F. .com.
Folks, this is old Henry J. Clevispen, editor and stud duck of the Buzzard Roost News, political news that ain't politically correct. Now, we put this illustrious monthly paper together with the help of my mule barn partner, S.K. Bevels, and our office staff, Nellie Frecklebelly and the Fud Parker sisters, and our crackerjack investigative reporter, old Buzzard Roost Bubba. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. You can get the paper version or the online version at BuzzardRoofNewsOnline.com.
Big Billy Kinder Outdoors isn't breaking outdoor news. You have that in your hand or pocket every minute of the day. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is about the people, places, wildlife, and wonder that the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and the shooting sports bring to millions in the U.S. and Canada. From Miami to Seattle, the Gulf of Mexico to the Yukon, every week we celebrate our heritage and lifestyle. Maybe you should consider advertising with us. Just drop us a note at sales@bdkoradio.com. Some things just can't be improved upon. Take a traditional South Dakota pheasant hunt, for example. A brisk morning with only time, a trusted dog, and a field full of wild pheasants ahead of you. As step by step you trace the finest hunting heritage known to man, the history is thick in the fresh, clean air as you raise your gun and claim your part of this legendary South Dakota paradise. Now, throw in good friends and family in the lakeside cabins with a sprawling front porch, private bed and bathrooms, high-def TV in each room to catch the game, the award-winning restaurant and bar just steps away from your cabin, and a string of dogs to help you hunt the 35,000 acres that Spring Creek Resort South Dakota has acquired with you in mind. Maybe some things can be improved upon. Come see what we have for you at Spring Creek Resort, just north of Pierre, South Dakota. SpringCreekSD.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
We thank God for the freedom, our men and women that defend it, and the Constitution that guarantees it. Welcome to camp with Big Billy Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Today, while you are enjoying time on the boat or maybe shoot a round of sporting clays, DSC will stand before your elected officials and remind them just how important your rights to hunt, fish, and shoot are. Even if you're not a member of DSC, we fight for you every day. BigGame.org.
Hey, put it on your calendar. Mr. Crappie's Crappie Expo 2020 coming to Branson, Missouri and Table Rock Lake. That'll be October 29th through November 1st. The Expo, the largest consumer crappie and panfish event in the great sport of crappie fishing. And then, of course, the $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational brings the top crappie fishermen from across the nation to Table Rock Lake to try and figure out the clear water and walk away with $100,000. Put it on your calendar. It's a lot of fun. I'll be there, and I'll see you there October 29 through November 1, Branson, Missouri Convention Center. You know, it's never the wrong time of year to think about deer hunting. And there's so much that we can get accomplished this time of year, in the spring. I want to talk about that with our guy, our big game biologist. You know him as Mr. Whitetail, the host of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon TV. Or maybe you've read his writings in all the top hunting and shooting magazines. Larry Wysoon. Larry, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here. And tell me this, where in the heck are you? Because I never know when I call you up what part of the world you're in.
You know, sometimes I don't know for sure either, Billy, but it's worked out. You kind of caught me actually on my little place in the northern part of Colorado County, just kind of about 8 or 10 miles north of Columbus, Texas, and probably about 24, 25 miles from where I now live in Brenham. Out here, of all things, kind of looking around a little bit, doing fertilizing a little bit of native browse and kind of looking to see what the browse species are here and kind of looking for a shed antler or two, and if I can find a rub or a scrape, kind of getting ready. You know, it's a long way from deer season, but it's never too early to get started.
Yeah, this time of year, I want it to be deer season year round, but they won't let us do that. So this time of year, I always say we're as far from deer season as we can get right now, but we're closer than we were yesterday. So that's hope.
Amen. That is hope.
Well, we caught you at the right time, because that's what I want to talk about today is scouting during the spring to make life a little easier in the fall and kind of help us get through those rigors of a long, hot summer. What are you looking for this time of year while you're out doing a little scout, deer scouting for white-tailed deer?
What I'm doing right now is I'm just kind of going around a little bit. And, of course, as I mentioned, looking for a shed antler too, trying to see which bucks made it through the hunting season and through the winter and try to get an idea. You know, you get a pretty good idea as to the age of a deer by looking at the shed antler. A small antler, of course, it's probably going to be a young deer. But if you look at that pedicle attachment area where that antler attaches to the skull, as opposed to just above the burr where you have the main beam, if that deer is a really young deer and he's got a fairly small antler, he ought to have a pretty decent-sized pedicle area. The beam's going to be a little smaller. When that deer is like a 2 or 3-year-old deer,
that pedicle ought to be fair size, and then right above the burr, if you've had decent nutrition, it ought to be about the same size as that attachment area. And when you get into the older age classes, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, if they're on decent nutrition, they'll have a big pedicle attachment area, and then that main beam above that burr will be bigger than that attachment area. So by looking at antlers like that, you can get a pretty good idea sometimes as to what kind of age structure you have. And again, you know where that deer made it through the season. He's made it at least to the point where he's dropped his antlers, and that's also a pretty good indication that particularly if it's an old mature buck, he may be very close to where you find those shed antlers, because I will tell you that in years past, I paid a lot of attention to those kind of things, and quite often I shot old secretive type bucks within 100 yards or less of where I found the shed antlers. So good time to be scouting for those kind of things.
Hey, that's a really good tip right there. And, you know, this time of year, when you're out looking around like that, if you're in their bedding area, their real secret area, that can all be forgiven by fall. That's not something you want to do in November, but right now you can kind of get away with that, can't you?
You can. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, is the very best time to do scouting like that, where you are concerned maybe that you might bump a deer or whatever. He's not going to pay a whole lot of attention to you right now. The other thing that we're kind of doing, too, while I'm out here is if you've had – I learned over the years that there are all kinds of different scrapes, but I mean rubs as well, but – to me, there's an active rub or an inactive rub, and sometimes these bucks walk along, and they just kind of hook the brush a little bit and keep going, but there are also some places where those bucks return to year after year. So one of the things that I'm looking for is some of the rubs that are out there. I want to see that they look like they were rubbed on this past year, and I want to look to see, too, if they may have been rubbed on in years past, because, again, sometimes particular old mature bucks have a tendency to come back to the same spot to rub their antlers each year, and same thing's kind of true on if you find what looked like an active scrape. I mean, even now with as green as it is and the green up that we're having in other places compared to where I am, you can still see where they kind of push that dirt around with their front feet, and you can see where they kind of nuzzled and kind of bit on that overhanging limb. So right now's a good time to find those things, and I'm not very technically minded, so my technology, I guess, is amounts to more than taking a sheet of paper and a pencil and drawing out the property and then kind of marking off where I find rubs and scrapes right now, so that I know that may be a place that I want to return to or hunt fairly close to come this fall.
When will fawns be on the ground in your part of the country? We're talking about the Texas Hill Country.
Well, the Texas Hill Country and kind of the southeast, the eastern part of the state, usually we have our rut varies so very much over the state, but we'll have fawns on the ground in a lot of those areas by the first to second week of May, and maybe even a little bit earlier. Some of our does this year seemed going into the rut were in really good shape. They probably got bred early a little bit. So usually by the middle of May, we got a lot of fawns on the ground, and when you hit farther south, like in the deep south Texas, then generally you start seeing fawns that last week of June and usually that first week of July. But it won't be long now. We'll have fawns on the ground on lots of parts of the state of Texas.
Is that something, when it comes to your scouting, that concerns you? Do you want to try to be out of the woods when those fawns hit the ground? Have your scouting done?
I try to have most of my scouting done by then, but, you know, there's still an opportunity to get out during that time of the year, too. And again, generally, you don't disturb those fawns that much or the does. I try to do a lot of scouting during that time looking for deer, because by then, pretty soon you're going to be able to tell kind of what those bucks are going to start looking like. I'll find a good spot where I can sit with a spotting scope and a binocular and maybe watch the areas that they feed into. And by watching those does, it also will give me a pretty good idea of what kind of fawn survival rate we might have come the fall. And that's one of the things we as hunters sometimes forget is that if you're interested in 5 and 6-year-old bucks, those old mature bucks, now this coming fall, you need to go back to see what kind of fawn survival rate we had 5 and 6 years ago. If we didn't have much of a fawn survival rate, they're not going to be many bucks in that age class. And that's one of the reasons that we tried so hard to always be sure that we have at least a 40% or better fawn survival rate on the properties, at least that I try to go hunt on, because I know if that's the case, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, if we can maintain that kind of a fawn survival rate, there are going to be a fair number of fawns that have grown up into those older age class bucks.
Really good information with Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail. doing a little spring scouting for your whitetail hunting this fall. More from Larry coming up next hour, and your brand new Bassmaster Classic champion, Hank Cherry, is going to join us on the show. Right now, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee, maybe a biscuit and sausage, stretch my legs a little bit. And then when I come back, Scott Jordan joins us as we jump on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors Trot Line and travel to Cuba, New York, where he is the outdoors educator there. You're not going to believe what he's got going at school, and the kids love it.
Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen. I can't believe Big Billy gave my own personal bedroom here at the camp house. Now, if he'd just get his dogs out of my bed.
At Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing in Roanoke, Texas, we've been doing it right for 30 years now.
We hold ourselves to a higher standard when it comes to producing all the meat that your animal will yield in only the cleanest and most sanitary facility.
And all your meat will be vacuum sealed, airtight, to preserve the fresh flavor.
With more than 40 fresh and smoked recipes handed down generation to generation in the Mazzocchio family, your family will love it. From breakfast sausages to taco meat and tamales.
Our jerky won the Bass Pro Shop Best Jerky Award 3 out of 4 years.
Your wife is going to love what we do with your wild game at Cinnamon Creek. Our products are sampled and approved by wives and kids.
From day one, we've held ourselves to a higher standard at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. And over the past 30 years, the quality of our foods have never changed.
We work extended hours during hunting season, so drop by the website at ccrwildgameprocessing.com for details.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing in Roanoke, Texas. More than 30 years of family recipes that we enjoy sharing with your camp. CCRWildGameProcessing.com.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, PIM, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com, 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail. Painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly 3 decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy at True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org. Right now is the time to put a solid game plan together for this fall and winter. Dillon hunting blinds keep you warm, dry, and quiet, resulting in more time spent in the field. If you're comfortable, you fidget and move less. Dillon hunting blinds are a completely assembled one-piece unit with insulated foam walls. A marine decking fiberglass floor means no rot, ever. Framed glass windows that flip up and in with friction hinges. And drip rails on each window. Need vertical windows for bow hunting? We've got you covered there, too. The classic 4x6 features 2 fiberglass gun rests and a 4-foot shelf and a super quiet locking aluminum RV-type door. The Dillon name is legendary because of tough, long-lasting construction, competitive pricing, one-piece construction, and all-day comfort. At Dillon, we're ready for fall. Are you? Visit us online at DillonMANUF.com.
If you boys are taking that old flat bottom out, don't forget these coffee cans. Just like life, you'll need to bail a little water now and then. This is Life in the Camp House at Big Billy Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
If you drill a hole in the ice to fish or enjoy open water all year long, you are the DSC. The hunter that glasses for sheep at 12,000 foot and the squirrel hunter with his .22 rifle are part of us as well. DSC offices in Dallas, but fights for you no matter where you enjoy getting outside. BigGame.org.
BBKO, like Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, BBKOradio.com. That's the website. Come see me. Up in Cuba, New York, Scott Jordan is the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation Educator of the Year, and I'm about to show you why. Welcome to the show, Scott. It's sure good to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
What you're doing in your school and have been doing for a number of years now there in New York is just, it's phenomenal. I'm conditioned now to the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation and teaching the outdoors in our schools, but you're over the top with this. Tell folks exactly what you do as part of your outdoor curriculum and how involved your kids are there at your school, which is Cuba Rushford Central School, Cuba, New York.
Yes, sir. Well, I started our program back in 1993, and then in 96, we actually merged with another school district, and the superintendent, he kind of said, hey, anything special you want to do? And I was like, well, glad you asked, because I need a pond. And that kind of started it all, and I had a group of eighth grade boys that always wanted to do something special, and they always wanted to do something extra. And I said, well, if you guys sign on until you graduate, we'll do something extra. So we then built a hatchery that feeds into the pond. So we raised brook trout and paddlefish. So we have an octagon building, stone building that we, that's our hatchery. And then we have a wetland area that we reclaimed with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So we have breeding Canada geese and mallards and wood ducks. And then we had one of my students, both his uncle and his father died in the same year. And the family approached me and said they wanted to do something. And I said, big or little. So we ended up building a wildlife research center. So we have our own log home right on campus. And then further out back, one of my students' father passed away, and so monies from that actually went towards building a huge turkey facility. So we now have birds on campus. We actually we've got a net over it, so those birds are allowed to fly in there. The biggest thing for me with that one is not so much because video isn't very good in the fenced area, but the sounds that they make. So having students up close and personal, like when I take students turkey hunting, they don't always get to hear them spitting and drumming or vibrating. And honestly, that stuff goes right through your soul. So we've got that. And then probably, arguably, our biggest thing is our wildlife research center, our deer facility. So that's called Deerassic Park, and we have white-tailed deer out there in that facility, and my students actually do research on the rut there. So with our facilities on campus, like when we first moved here, our superintendent said, we don't want to pay for a lot of field trips. And I said, well, we'll make the field trips come here then. And that's pretty much what we've done. And so all of our studies and our research is done right here on campus.
Wow. That is just absolutely amazing. Amazing. And to top it all off, your kids also produce a television show that folks can see on the Pursuit Channel. And there are some field trips involved there. You've actually taken kids as you put the television show together. From my understanding, you've taken them all over the place.
Yeah, so everything we do, we film in HD, and so I get the computer kids and I get the graphics kids. So in the back of my classroom is a setup. So we're using Final Cut Pro, and we do 13 new shows each year. And so we're right in the middle of editing and sending the shows in for quarter two. So if you want to catch us, we're on Friday nights at 6 o'clock. on the Pursuit Channel starting April 3rd. And so the field trips, like, you know, we go all over the United States when we have opportunities. We're about to go do a Nebraska turkey hunt here coming up. But the biggest things that, you know, I lived in Alaska for 8.5 years, so I take students there. So we've gone to Alaska 15 times. We go to New Zealand. This will be our 17th time to New Zealand. We go to South Africa this summer. We're going back again. So students are actually going to work with white rhinos and do some conservation efforts for 5 days, and then they're going to actually be able to hunt plains game for 5 days. We've gone to Scotland, Ireland, and England. We've gone to Australia. Then this summer, or actually this Easter break, we're going to the pyramids, and we are hoping that the coronavirus will knock it off so that I have to quit adjusting things. But that's our next big adventure. So that's coming up too. And, you know, honestly, my students drive this program. So we're a small school, and I have about 60 kids in Fish and Wildlife. Usually 10 to 12 kids a year take it for college credit through Alfred State with me. My students, I set this whole thing up so it's a little bit like the military and a lot like the real world. So for every facility I have a manager, and then they have students that have to work underneath them, and they have to, you know, work three years or so to build up points to get there. And then that allows these students. So when they apply for a job or a scholarship or for college, I know them not only as a student, but as a worker, as a leader, and as a team player. I can evaluate them pretty well, and that helps them. They are extremely competitive when it comes to, you know, getting that loan scholarship or getting into the school that they want.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. I know you've had some brilliant kids come through your program in all of these decades, Scott, but what about that kid that's at risk? I know you've probably had a number of them, too, that came along, and maybe the outdoors was just the key, the ticket, to maybe turn their life around.
Well, yes, sir. And for some of those kids, they know to be in my program, they can't get in trouble. Like, they absolutely can't, because my program is about responsibility. And if I set you up so you're doing this job or that job, I'm not with them. And that's a limiting factor for a lot of schools, because, like, you know, I've had 3 kids running chainsaws this year. How many schools would allow that, you know? But the way that you reach these kids is by giving them choice in what they learn and then having them excel at what they're good at. And so I can take any program, any idea, any curriculum, and adapt it to fisheries and wildlife. Now, I'm not making, you know, thousands of new biologists, but what I am doing is making an educated public. So when something comes up dealing with anything to do with our field, they will vote the right way, you know. And but just to see them be successful adults, and you're just giving them a different way to learn science. But the, you know, the real point is that kids today don't waste their time, and the stuff we do is what actually is being done out there. And so it's so gratifying to see how successful some of the kids have been. And, you know, whether they're, I've got kids that are firemen and police officers, and just as well as biologists. And one of my students just finished his master's in turkeys, and now he got hired as a turkey biologist for the state of West Virginia. And one of my kids is just went into graduate school to be a duck biologist, and he's already got a position, so he's doing outstanding. I mean, it's those kind of things that put a smile on your face at the end of the day, you know.
Scott, you're doing incredible work there in New York, and thank you for your time on the show today. Wow. Hey, let's take a little break. I'll meet you right back here.
The coffee's always on, and the conservation, yes, conservation, is always good. Make sure you bring a young'un or two. Together, let's teach them what heritage and tradition looks like. This is the Big Billy Kender Outdoors Camp House, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Watch the DSC at work. We are on Pursuit Channel with DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon and DSC's Tracks Across Africa on the Outdoor Channel. Yes, we work hard at DSC, but we also like to go hunting from time to time. Join us on the journey. BigGame.org.
Hey, welcome back. We get together right here at this time each week in the Big Billy Kender Outdoors Camp House. Plenty of room for everybody, and only one rule. You got to come back next week and bring a buddy with you. Coming up later this hour, he just won the Bassmaster Classic last weekend, the 50th, a special Bassmaster Classic. Hank Cherry from North Carolina, he'll be our guest. Plus a guy from Lubbock, Texas, the windblown, dusty panhandle of Texas. Blake Cockrell is going to join us in a few minutes and tell us how he caught two Texas Sharelunkers in about 2 weeks. Sharelunkers are 13-pound or larger largemouth bass. They're very, very rare, even in the California Delta or even in the glory waters of Florida, and especially from the desert climate of West Texas. But Blake did it, and he's here to talk about it a little later. Glad you are, too. This corner of the Camp House is brought to you by my friends at Purina Pro Plan. I've fed Pro Plan Performance Formula ever since it became Pro Plan. And that's been decades now. I've fed my hard-working bird dogs and our lovable lap dogs Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. It's the best. And it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Texas, and Arkansas. Atwood's and Pro Plan. Got a note this week from Ralph Bernieri. He listens up there in Centerline, Michigan. Hey, Billy, I catch your show up here in Michigan. And in one word, it's wonderful. Down to earth, gives a real family feeling to belong and listen. I've been hunting and fishing for over 40 years and did a lot of it by myself. Not many family members or friends enjoy the outdoors as I do. And it's a shame that they don't. Anyway, you all do a great job. Keep up the good work. Come on and swing by Michigan. We'll burn some meat on the grill. I like that invite. Thank you so very much, Ralph. And we will at some point work that into our plan. Maybe we'll do a show with Van Dam up there catching those smallmouth that he loves so much. That'd be a blast. Hey, we want to hear from you, bbkoradio.com, and leave a note on the door. We'll get it. Hey, the swans, they're back in Utah. The annual migration is something to see. It takes the swans from wintering grounds in California to nesting sites in Canada, and even Alaska. You can see the birds and learn more about them today. It's Wild Swan Day at the Salt Creek and Farmington Bay WMAs today in Tremonton and Farmington, Utah. You have just over 3 weeks to turn in your applications to hunt big game and sheep and goats in Colorado. The deadline is April 7th at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And here's one for you. If you don't enter, you'll never win. If you do enter, you probably still won't win. It is a tough draw to come by, but it's on everybody's bucket list. Moose in Maine. The 2020 Maine Moose Lottery application process is open. Permit lottery applications will be accepted online only. We've got the link for you at bbkoradio.com. The deadline to apply, 11:59 p.m. Eastern on May 14th. Monday is the big day in Nevada for your big game application period. There are big game application seminars in Reno and Vegas on March 25th. Coming up on Friday and running through next Sunday, March 22nd, it's Tampa's Outdoor Expo and Boat Show. This is a big one, a dandy. And it's going to be at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' new indoor facility, Advent Health Training Center. Boats of all shapes and sizes, boating accessories, fishing gear, apparel. They're expecting more than 15,000 people to attend. More than 100 exhibitors and boat dealers will be there. Daily seminars on everything from fresh and saltwater fishing to fly fishing, boating, kayaking, the latest tips, tackle, and tricks. advice from the industry's most renowned pros, and a 10,000-gallon bathtub tank. Hourly raffle prizes, too. The 29th Annual Outdoors Expo and Boat Show. Friday, 1 till 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, 10 to 5, Advent Training Center, Tampa. There are a lot of different Pro Plan formulas. That's because there are a lot of different dogs. Big dogs, little dogs, active dogs, couch potatoes, young dogs, old dogs, dogs with special conditions. And there's a Pro Plan for every one of them. Feed your dog the best. Pick up the Pro Plan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, back to Utah we go now. The Utah Division of Wildlife Resources are seeking information after six mature bull elk were shot and killed in the Knob Hill area of Park City. It all happened between December 20th last year and January 15th this year. That's a residential area, home to a huge herd of large adult bull elk. Local residents see them all the time and then notice that there appear to be fewer animals than normal. If you have any info, can help the investigation at all, the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources would love to hear from you.
Hello, everybody. It's Travis T-Bone Turner. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Safari, defined as an expedition to observe or hunt animals in their natural habitat. That's a pretty good overview of what we do at DSC. Safari allows us all to enjoy waterfowl on a nearby lake, elephant and African bush, and each other along the way. As we go, we recognize the need to conserve that natural habitat and those native animals both near and far. Based in Dallas, Texas, the DSC has chapters organizing across America, and the impact of our work reaches around the globe. It may be desert water guzzlers in West Texas that enable the survival of our native sheep, support of a helicopter in Africa that day after day tracks down and puts away poachers, a youngster enjoying the rifle range for the first time, or maybe it's a solid and immovable stance before politicians that would take your shooting and hunting rights away from you. If these things are important to you, please join us. Become a DSC member at biggame.org.
I've relied completely on Buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my Buffalo Wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo wool in harsh conditions had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool, and I feel the buffalo wool difference immediately after putting them on. All Buffalo wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with buffalo wool. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors isn't breaking outdoor news. You have that in your hand or pocket every minute of the day. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is about the people, places, wildlife, and wonder that the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and the shooting sports bring to millions in the U.S. and Canada. From Miami to Seattle, the Gulf of Mexico to the Yukon, every week we celebrate our heritage and lifestyle. Maybe you should consider advertising with us. Just drop us a note at sales@bdkoradio.com. There's a Marksman Firearms store near you with locations in Mansfield, Killeen, Wichita Falls, and Granbury. And at all Marksman Firearms stores, we're ready for spring. Whether it's a new semi-auto, pump, or over and under that fits your needs for spring turkeys and sporting clays, we've got you covered at Marksman. Shotgun loads for the range and big 3.5-inch turkey loads, too. Make your mark this spring at Marksman Firearms. Learn more about us at MarksmanFirearms.com. You've never seen a more complete archery and event center than Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's world-class. There's nothing else like it anywhere.
We offer a chance for archers to come and shoot indoors. We have 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. You can shoot 40 yards in here. We have a conference room upstairs. We have several companies that come here and do their monthly meetings, business network meetings. We have the facilities for that. We also have a full kitchen. We can cater lunch for you. We do a lot of different team building events for corporate outings. When you're out on the golf course in a corporate outing, you're spending time with three other people for 4.5 hours. We're here, a company comes out and they've got 30 or 40 employees. They're all able to hang out together and just relax and have a good time. It's our job to make sure that that happens.
A fresh new approach to corporate outings. And your kids have never had this much fun at a birthday party. Learn a lot more when you come visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
That view from the porch is pretty awesome this time of year. Let's sit and visit a while at Big Billy Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
Is it important to you to have your voice heard on important conservation matters? Do you look at the anti-hunting, anti-gun ownership people on the news and get frustrated? Why don't you consider joining forces with one of the most powerful, true conservation and pro-shooting sports-minded groups anywhere? DSC welcomes you at biggame.org.
Hey, let's jump on that Big Billy Kender Outdoors trot line again and go to Lubbock, Texas. That's where we're going to find Blake Cockrell. Blake loves to bass fish, and evidently, he's very fond of big green bass. Most people won't catch a 13-pound Texas Sherlunker in their life, a 13-pound bass in their life. Blake has caught two in 2 weeks. Blake, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. Not as good as your spring is going, but it's all right down here. You're catching a Sherlunker a week. What's up with that?
Well, somebody's got to do it around here.
Oh, mercy. Congratulations. Two Sherlunkers in a lifetime would be a big deal, but two in the span of a couple of weeks, that's just remarkable. Do you still pinch yourself trying to believe it?
Well, sometimes I do, but sometimes you just got to own the situation and realize it happened and know that it's possible to catch one at any time.
Yeah. I tell you what, you fish out of Lubbock, Texas, and I'm sure that, you know, people are hearing this all across the country, and they're saying, Lubbock, that's out in West Texas in the panhandle, flat as a pancake, 40-mile-an-hour wind blowing all the time, dust. There ain't a 13-pound bass out there. Lake Allen Henry's a pretty special spot, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of like a Arizona-California lake. It's a deep canyon reservoir. You'll be on flat land, and then you just drop off into that canyon, and there's a lot of 50 to 80-foot water in that lake.
So when you're graphing that lake, you're riding around just watching your graph, can you be in 10 foot of water, and then all of a sudden you're in 50 foot of water? Is that kind of consistent throughout the lake?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you're fishing a lot of ledges and stuff like that all year, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. A lot of us don't fish there a whole lot. It's a tough
right.
to figure.
I bet it is. Yeah. You're a member of the Lubbock Bankliners Bass Club.
That's not an actual club. They were just having a tournament that day. I'm friends with the person that runs it. I'm actually a part of a club called West Texas Bass Assassins.
Yeah.
We had our club championship this past Saturday at Hubbard Creek down by Dallas area, and I was fortunate enough to win that one.
Man, you are on a roll. So what kind of bag of fish did you come up with this past weekend?
I didn't do that well. It was a lot of rough water from the wind and a lot of boats on the lake. I got lucky enough to win it with 8 pounds.
Hey, everybody's got to fish under the same conditions, play under the same conditions. Congratulations. That's huge. So two Sherlunkers. Tell me about that first one that you caught. A Sherlunker in Texas, by the way, folks, is 13 pounds or bigger. Tell me about that first fish you caught.
I was pretty fishing for a local tournament down there the following weekend. I'd been on the water for 5 or 6 hours, and I had one more spot I wanted to fish. And right now it's been getting dark about 5:30 or 6 before this time change. And I had time to fish one more spot. And I decided to go to it. It's on the complete other end of the lake from the boat ramp. And I got up there, which I caught some, there's predominantly spotted bass in that lake. And I caught some good spots off this spot a few weeks before. Well, I pull up, I catch a couple of little fish, and then I just have a thought in my head. And I sat down and tie a crankbait on. And I'm fishing a roadbed with a ledge on it, and it falls off 5 feet to a big old flat. And I'm reeling that crankbait, and one hits it. And immediately I knew it was something over 6-7 pounds. And that doesn't happen a whole lot on that lake anymore. And I'm reeling the fish in, and it takes off to a tree. I get it out of that tree, and I start following around. It takes me about 5 or 6 minutes to get the fish in the boat. Well, about 30 seconds before I landed her, she come up, and I got to see exactly what she was. And that was kind of just a for real moment. It was a whale in the water. And I got it up the side of the boat, lift her and put her in the boat, put her in a live well, made a call, and was on FaceTime with my dad when I actually weighed her. And I talked to my dad, I said, you need to get somebody with a scale. I haven't weighed this fish yet, but I have a feeling this is a share on it. And he said, well, put on the scale. I put on the scale. We both went, oh, my. Well, we've seen it at 14 pounds. He actually hung up on the phone with me.
Oh, that's fun. Is your dad a bass fisherman?
Yes. He raised me in a bass club since I was about 5 years old.
Yeah, so he was all fired up. He knew what had happened there, how big that was.
That was actually the biggest bass to come out of Allen Henry since 2006. So it was a big deal for that one.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And then, you know, there was a long gap between 2006 and 2020. But then the next gap wasn't quite as long because you went back and lightning struck twice within 2 weeks, same lake. Oh, my goodness. Tell me about this fish.
Well, we were fishing that tournament for the Lubbock Bank Honors. I try to support their stuff whenever they have a tournament anywhere, and I'll show up and fish it. And since I caught that 14-pounder, I had won two tournaments and got second in a tournament in that same area. And we got to take off early, and I get over there. It's about a 20-minute run in my little boat, and the tournament started at 8 o'clock. By 8:05, I hooked that fish.
Wow!
There was three other boats around that watched me do it, and I got that fish in the boat. Looked at the kid that was with me. I told him, "So this is another share lunker." And putting on my scale, and it was 13:20 something. Made the same call. Went back to the ramp. Put the boat on the trailer. Didn't fish the rest of the day. And I was like, this is when it got real special to me, because I know that's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, the odds against that are just right there next to impossible. So you had this one fish over 13. What won the tournament, the Bankliners tournament that day?
I won it with the 13-pounder.
You won it with the 13-pounder. I figured you probably did. Oh, man. Blake, what a story to tell, too. Over 13 so far this spring, and I bet you when you're not working, you're fishing right now because your luck is on a roll.
Well, that's how it always is. This ain't going to make me change the way I fish or change anything. I've always fished anytime I'm free or do something with fishing.
You know how you catch two 13-pounders? You go fishing. You get off the couch and go fishing. There you go. Hey, Blake, congratulations. Thanks for sharing your story with us, man. You're an inspiration to all of us who haven't caught that 13-pounder yet, but we're looking for it.
Thank you.
He lives in Lubbock, Texas, fishes every minute that he can. His name is Blake Cockrell, and he's caught two Texas share lunkers over the past couple of weeks. That's pretty remarkable. Another guy that likes to catch big green bass and has now earned over $1 million doing it is Hank Cherry from North Carolina. He's your brand new Bassmaster Classic champion. He won it last weekend on Gunnersville, Alabama, and he's our special guest coming up in a few minutes. Plus, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, host of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon TV. He's on the way next. We'll continue our conversation on spring scouting for white-tailed deer. Fascinating stuff from the man, Mr. whitetail. This corner of the Camp House is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. Hey, you guys with sporting dogs, field trial season is here. You want your dog to compete at his or her very best during high-level competition? You got to fuel them up right. And that is Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. And it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
Hey, everybody, it's Justin Lucas. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, how'd you get that chip out of my graph? Give that back.
When you visit the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas, you'll feel like you're millions of miles away from the hustle and bustle of the city. Our lakefront campground features great amenities like our huge new pavilion that's perfect for family reunions, weddings, and holiday gatherings. High-def cable at every site and fast free Wi-Fi too. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins can accommodate any size bus or RV, and we supply 50-amp service to every campsite. Our cabins are roomy and comfortable with views of beautiful Grapevine Lake. And our well-supplied camp store has everything you need for a campfire cookout or a trip to our private sandy beach. Bring the boat and enjoy our private boat rent. No lines and no crowded parking. Want to visit shops with that special find or the latest and greatest? No problem. You're just a few blocks away from historic Main Street and Grapevine Mills Mall. The award-winning Vineyards Campground and Cabins on Grapevine Lake. Pay us a visit right now at VineyardsCampground.com. That's VineyardsCampground.com.
Folks, this is old Henry J. Clevispen, editor and stud duck of the Buzzard Roost News, political news that ain't politically correct. Now, we put this illustrious monthly paper together with the help of my mule barn partner, S.K. Bevels, and our office staff, Nellie Frecklebelly and the Fud Parker sisters, and our crackerjack investigative reporter, old Buzzard Roost Bubba. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. You can get the paper version or the online version at BuzzardRoofNewsOnline.com.
On April 3rd and 4th, some of the world's finest knife makers from the Knife Makers Guild and American Bladesmith Society will be at Stockyard Station in the Fort Worth Stockyards to display all custom and handmade knives, fixed blade and folding knives, hand-forged Damascus knives, and much more. If you collect knives or if your knife is an important tool to you, this ICCE show is a must. Beautiful engraving and scrimshod knives by world-class artists. But it's 2 days only, April 3rd and 4th in the Stampede Room, Stockyard Station, Fort Worth.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Check rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Right now is the time to put a solid game plan together for this fall and winter. Dillon Hunting Blinds keep you warm, dry, and quiet, resulting in more time spent in the field. If you're comfortable, you fidget and move less. Dillon Hunting Blinds are a completely assembled one-piece unit with insulated foam walls. A marine decking fiberglass floor means no rot, ever. Framed glass windows that flip up and in with friction hinges. And drip rails on each window. Need vertical windows for bow hunting? We've got you covered there, too. The classic 4x6 features 2 fiberglass gun rests and a 4-foot shelf and a super quiet locking aluminum RV-type door. The Dillon name is legendary because of tough, long-lasting construction, competitive pricing, one-piece construction, and all-day comfort. At Dillon, we're ready for fall. Are you? Visit us online at DillonMANUF.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
There are plenty of fish in the creek behind the camp house. Feel free to take a ride down from the wall and catch a few. We want you to feel at home in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
When a young lady takes her first doe and feeds her family with it, or a teenage boy smiles about his catch of crappie, they probably don't think of us at DSC, but we're there. Conserving, preserving, and teaching. We are the DSC. Big game.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. Welcome to our camp house here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Don't forget to come see us at the website, bbkoradio.com. Leave us a note. Let us know where you hear the show, where you listen to the show. And by the way, if you can't catch the broadcast at a set time every single week, check out a free podcast. Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Play Music, Stitcher. Each of them will send the show free to your device every week. Listen when you want to. Larry Wysoon is the host of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon. You've probably read him in, all of the top hunting and shooting magazines over the years. Proud to call him a friend. Larry, we were talking about an hour ago, and I'm going to jump back on the phone with you now and just kind of review what we've covered so far.
Permitting scrapes earlier, you really have to look for them this time of year, as you mentioned, with this new growth coming on in the spring, but you can still find those old scrapes. The rubs are going to be there. You're going to find those. Scrapes are really key, though, because, like you said, they'll come back to those year after year after year. Want to make sure you take your GPS or your Big Chief tablet, whatever your technology is, and mark those spots, though, as you put together your plan for the fall. You know what else is happening this time of year? The snakes are moving. You hadn't bumped into any of those, have you?
No, sir, I haven't, but I can assure you that I'm wearing knit boots that go up to my knees because I pulled cattle off of some of the property that we've got for a year or so now, and there's lots of cover on the ground, and I suspect there's a fair amount of prey for the copperheads and rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and coral snakes that we have in this area where my little place is. So you're right. You got to be really careful. I mean, it's nothing to be deathly afraid of, but it's just you like I try to be is just cognizant and remember, hey, there are snakes in this area. Watch where I put my feet. Be careful what I pick up. You know, don't stick my hand underneath the log, you know, those kind of things. And as long as people do that, your chances of getting bit are fairly slim. I mean, usually those snakes, unless they're in the process maybe of shedding skin, they're going to be fairly secretive and they're going to be a little bit on the shy side. Other than, like I said, if they're shedding that skin sometime, they'd be a little bit on the mean side. But other than that, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. There's a fair number of snakes out, but, you know, just be careful.
You know, there's a place I've hunted in West Texas now for over 20 years, and I had 27 quail feeders set up on that place, and every 8 weeks I would go out. I don't feed it anymore, but I would go out religiously and put a pallet of corn out going around to all those feeders, and I always carried my shotgun because invariably, and if you're a year-round feeder, deer, quail, doesn't matter, this is a real good tip for you. Keep the shotgun handy. Keep your eyes open because those snakes love to lay next to a feeder because they know a mouse is going to be coming up there to get a piece of that corn. And I can't tell you how many rattlesnakes I've killed around feeders in the summertime and spring and summer, Larry.
Bill, you're exactly right, and that's what draws them right there, as you mentioned, is the prey species that get in there, the rats and rabbits and mice and even birds to some extent. So you're right. If you've got a year-round feeder situation, regardless of what you're doing for whatever your purpose is, please be careful around those areas, not just right at the feeder, but in the perimeter as well, too.
You betcha. Hey, my last question to you is about feeding. A lot of states that we're talking to today can't feed, a lot can. Do you see any benefit in feeding year-round when there's plenty of browse, plenty to eat, or is that just a seasonal thing?
To me, one of the things that we have to remember is that we're really not feeding the deer. We're feeding the ruminal flora within the rumen and the digestive system of that deer. And any time that you dramatically change the intake of types of different feed or food or forage or whatever the case is, that flora has to adjust, and sometimes it can, if you're feeding and then you stop, you're pushing that deer onto a totally different diet, that's really kind of a setback, because then that ruminal flora has to totally readjust, kind of thing. So to me, if you're going to feed, if you're going to supplementally feed, try to do it on a year-round basis, at least make it available to where you can keep that ruminal flora within that deer's digestive system happy. And if you can do that, you're going to be way ahead rather than going and taking a chance at having that total turnover of that floor. And it kind of sets the deer back a little bit when you do that.
Hey, you just made me feel a lot better about my corn, Bill. Thank you.
Well, good.
All right, Larry, good talking to you always. Let's go fishing.
Billy, I'm ready. I need some more of them fillets of crappie that you gave me one time. By golly, I can't wait for the next go-around on them.
Hey, listen, just this past few days, here where I live in North Texas, that water temperature is right. Those fish have moved up, and they've been spawning big time over the past few days. A lot of guys catching limits. And now the colder weather is coming. The wind is blowing. The rain is coming. We'll see how that affects them, how it messes up my spawn time with the crappie and the bass. Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, you can catch him on DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon on Pursuit Channel. Hey, let's talk about the spawn for just a minute, because this is the time of year where you're more likely to catch that giant bass, the bass of a lifetime, largemouth, smallmouth, walleye. Of course, that smallmouth and walleye predominantly going to be a little later on. You guys up north will be spawning out a little later than us. How about that giant crappie, that 3-pounder that you want to look back up on the wall and remember and tell the grandkids about on down the road? This is the time of year when that can happen to us. My only double-digit bass came on a jig during the spawn. My taxidermist is True Life Taxidermy, Granbury, Texas. They take care of folks all over the world. They're that good. My friend Roy Holdridge, that's his place. He's going to tell us how to care for that fish immediately after we catch it to make sure it looks its best when it comes back from the taxidermist.
You can't bring it right straight in. Just freeze it like that with a wet towel around there. And that will keep the moisture in. And so contrary to the things that people have heard in the past about putting newspaper pulls the moisture out, and that's bad.
Yeah,
so
no newspaper. Wrap them in a towel.
Wrap them in a wet towel, and it'll keep them perfect for you that way.
Okay. Hey, this may be a dumb question, but I want to know. Our water temperatures here in Texas reach 90 degrees plus in the summertime, where further north, folks might have 78-degree weather in the summertime catching those big old walleye on cooler days. Would we care any differently for those two fish coming out of the warmer water, colder water?
Really, the care is exactly the same. It's just more important to get them cold faster whenever it's hotter.
Yeah, because obviously they're going to deteriorate faster.
They will deteriorate faster in the hotter weather, but you care for them exactly the same way.
Saltwater fish, same thing?
Same thing, yes.
Or folks can do what I did with you a couple of years ago. My wife, Robin, caught a big old nice walleye up there in South Dakota, and I took its measurements, and I called you, and you made a beautiful replica. I can't tell it's not the fish.
Yes, you know, we do that a lot, more and more, you know, now than we used to 30 years ago. Very seldom did we do a reproduction. Now we do a lot of them. It's probably 50-50 at least. You know, we do as many reproductions, maybe more reproductions now than we do real fish. You just get you a good picture,
because they all have a little different coloration so that we can look at it and get the length and a girth on it, and we can make you a good one.
Everybody's got a phone in their pocket, a camera in their pocket at all times these days, so get that photograph. And, man, these replicas, they're really nice. You can tell the difference, I'm sure, but I really can't, without studying really hard, tell you if it's a replica or if that's the real fish.
Yes, they've come a long ways. I mean, we actually cast them off of a real fish, and so they've got all the detail just like your fish does with scale detail. They look great, and actually they'll last longer.
This is Eddie Salter, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net. They call it Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch.
So the Couples by the Creek is an event we do once a month. It is a time where there's no kids allowed, so the parents can come out for a great evening. We bring them all into the arena and start out shooting in here. We get the skeet shooting going, archery tag. Joe and Nola do a phenomenal dinner afterwards. All your food, all the bow rentals, you can bring your own equipment if you'd like, but you don't have to. Most of the people that come to the Couples by the Creek have never shot a bow. And we have groups of ladies that come, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple. We've had four or five guys come together, so it's just a night away from the kiddos, get out and have a good time and have a safe time. But we have a DJ usually afterwards. Let's play some music, get a little dancing going with a great meal to follow.
Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's the dangdest date you've ever taken her on, and she just might fall in love with bow shooting, or with you. That's okay. Cinnamon Creek Ranch has the largest archery pro shop on planet Earth, and we do weddings. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
the people and our right to bear arms and our right to free speech gather here. This is Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Camp House at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. We'd love to hear from you. Love to know how you listen to the show. Is it a broadcast, a podcast? You hear us on satellite radio? How do you hear the show? And where do you hear the show? Why don't you drop us a note? bbkoradio.com. We'd sure appreciate it. bbkoradio.com. You can also give us a like, Big Billy Kinder Outdoors on Facebook. Or heck, just call us the old-fashioned way, 1-877-820-2256. 1-877-820-BBKO. Joining us now is the newly crowned Bassmaster Classic Champion, Hank Cherry. Welcome to the show and congratulations, Hank.
Thank you. It's still hadn't quite sunk in, but I got the trophy riding in the truck with me right now, so it's real.
I was going to ask you if that trophy was over there in the passenger seat next to you, all buckled up, safe and sound.
No, it's actually tucked in behind some padding and some thick sweatshirts and everything in the back seat, and my wife is chauffeuring me home.
Well, that's pretty nice. You've earned a chauffeur because you've been pretty busy. You led the thing wire to wire. And, man, how special is that, the 50th anniversary of the Classic and on Gunnersville and all this big stuff, and you just jumped in there from the get-go and led the whole way. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's everything you dreamed of as a little boy growing up. And to be the 50th and be at Gunnersville, it was pretty special. Bob Cobb there in attendance, they brought him out. That even makes it even more special. But it just shows that, Bass is 50 years going strong and going to have 50 more coming. There'll be 50 more guys, then there'll be the 100th guy.
Yep, that's exactly right. Hey, you almost won this thing your rookie year a few years ago. That's been on your mind, I'm sure, ever since. Does it feel a little bit like you got a monkey off your back?
I definitely got some sense of redemption out of it. I don't think I really had the monkey, but I think I had maybe a few little ghosts flying around that I just had to exercise. But I think that's all taken care of. I'm just looking now forward to what the future holds for me and my family and can try to be the best ambassador to the sport that I can be.
Well, and you will be a fine ambassador, a terrific guy to hold this position. And I know the folks at Bass have to be tickled with these results. You and I have something in common. I don't have that big blue trophy, Hank, but I do have a bunch of that Berkeley Max Scent stuff. I fell in love with it about a year ago, and I probably fished that stuff more than anything over the past year because I'm getting really good results. You've got a classic trophy in part because of that Max Scent stuff.
Yeah, that Max Scent chunk was a critical part to my arsenal. It always is. Specifically, when I'm throwing a jig, I'm looking for just bigger fish, but that Max Scent chunk and the whole Max Scent lineup, really, from largemouth to smallmouth, but going back to Gunnersville this week, it's just they really weren't real aggressive biting, but when they get a hold of that Max Scent in their mouth, they just don't let it go. I mean, I know that term's been used and beat to death, but they just don't. They don't let it go. And I'm confident when bites it, he's trying to eat it. And when I set the hook, I said 98% of the time, I'm going to get a solid hook set.
Yep, and it worked out for you at the Classic on Gunnersville for sure. If I'm not mistaken, unless I'm forgetting somebody, Hank, the last Hank to win a Classic was a Carolina boy too.
Yeah, Hank Parker. I grew up in Charlotte, but I've lived the rest of my life up around the Lincoln, Denver area, and he is from Denver.
So wow.
In passing, and I know him. He speaks about me. He says it's always good things, but you know how that goes. You might be kidding with me. I don't know. He's a great man, a role model of mine growing up. I watched his show. I knew his kids. Just a great guy.
Yeah, he's a fine Christian man, and not only do I enjoy him as a guy, but I really like his testimony that he's not afraid to share that with anybody. Tell me about this fall. You went down pretty hard on day one, and, man, you had some swelling and beat yourself up a little bit there. What happened?
I'm not really sure. I just kind of slipped on the back deck and maybe hyperextended my elbow. I did a little something to it. That's why I was planning on just staying in Alabama and going straight to the Fastcat Owners Tournament. But I had a friend stop me on the highway, and he got my boat, kept it in Alabama, and we're coming home. And I'm going to go see my doctor tomorrow, and they're going to take a peek at it, maybe do some x-rays just to figure out that, make sure there's nothing major damage done. It's been pretty sore off and on. The pain has decreased a little bit, but it's still past the point of normal.
Yeah, and I know that that had to affect the way you fished a little bit. I know it kept you from running very much, and it was pretty windy and tough anyway, but did it affect your casting? Did it help to flip more?
Well, I didn't throw – I pitched my jig more at the rocks when I threw it than flipping it, so that wasn't a big deal. But I much can cast pretty fluently with either hand. So I spent a lot of time, especially the first 2 days, casting left-handed, just trying to, I guess, save my arm for, say, quote, like baseball terminology, save my arm for the final inning the last day. And then yesterday I pretty much threw right-handed, and it got sore, real sore from time to time, but it seemed like the more fish I put in the box, the less pain I felt.
Yeah, I bet that's true. Hey, you're a Garmin guy. That LiveScope is setting the world on fire. And this is not an advertisement. This is the real deal. I understand they're on back order at Bass Pro Shop for quite a while. They're trying to build those things as fast as they can. LiveScope for crappie fishermen, bass fishermen, it's a game changer.
Oh, across the board. I mean, it's, if you haven't ever been on the boat and seen it with your eyes, you won't believe it. I mean, you could put it on the simulator mode and look at it and just think they've got it zoomed in just right where you do that. I mean, once you see it in live, in person, on the water, it's like watching TV, except you can see your bait come to the TV. I mean, it's amazing. It was instrumental in me catching fish. Like I said, I could see pods of shad. I could see the gizzard shad. I could see bass. I could see drum. I could see the difference in the two, how they were setting up, how they would react when the bait came by. You know, I could see all that. When I was in the grass, I could see the higher parts of the grass 40 feet, 50 feet out in front of my boat. And I'm seeing a live action picture of it. I could watch my bait come through the grass. But if you're not using that new Garmin technology, you're behind.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, and for you crappie guys, you can actually see that crappie sitting there. You can see the different sizes of those fish. You can see your jig drop down. You can see them reject that color and try something else. It's a game changer. It's something else. Did it actually help you in this classic to grab that trophy? Did you depend on it some?
Yeah, every time I was on the causeway, I used the LiveScope and scanned, and I think officially, I think I caught four fish that were instrumental in this tournament off the LiveScope, and three of the four were great big ones. Like the first day,
yeah,
I caught a 7.2, and then second day I caught a 4.5, and maybe a 4, and then I caught that one 6.5 after I had seen it. The wind was blowing so hard when I caught that second big one that I saw the fish, and I kind of had to kick off with the trolling motor because the wind was crashing in so hard. And when I panned back, I saw him, and I'd already lined the cast up with the riprap. And when I threw, I know that's the fish I saw, and I have no doubt in my mind.
Wow, that's pretty amazing stuff. Hank Cherry, you are the Bassmaster Classic champion. It's going to take a little while to get used to hearing that and believe it, that it's really true, but it really is. Congratulations again.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
Bassmaster Classic champion, Hank Cherry. Hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this old camp house today, and invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.